And it's time now for Talking Books with Susan Brown, who heads up the Chapel Hill Public Library and joins us now in the studio. How are you?
I am doing great. How are you,
Aaron? I'm good. Happy early 4th of July.
That's right. You know, there's not much going on in my life tomorrow on the 4th. It'll be super relaxing. Won't be doing much at all.
Because you, in addition to running the Chapel Hill Public Library, also run Community Arts and Culture for the town, which means you're in charge of the big shebang, as it were.
I mean,
you have some degree of authority over the big shebang.
And it's going to be great. No, it's so library's great. I'm great. The 4th is going to be great.
We should do this on the 5th.
People, exactly. Apparently, the 5th will come. The sun will rise on the 5th. No, I'm kidding. It's going to be great.
You shouldn't be kidding. The sun will rise on the 5th.
Yes. Can we just start the show over?
No, we're going.
So I'm doing great. The library's great. It's just hopping there. It's so busy. I walked through the kids' room earlier today, and it was just rocking. And the staff is great because they could be, like, pulling out their hair and going crazy. And they're just rolling with it. Like, this is what they live for. They're so happy that the kids and the families are signing up for summer reading. It's awesome.
And what was the last number that I saw? 4,000 people have signed up?
4,000.
Nice.
That is just awesome.
Is that a record yet, or are we close? Or
I think we're close.
Yeah.
And so then there's the number that sign up. And then what I love, as we move closer to the end of the summer, there's the big number of hours that have been read. And that's always, like, insane, like 40, 50,000 or something.
Nice.
It's great. And then the other great thing, thinking of the 4th, is that anytime that there's a vacation or a holiday coming up, everybody comes in to get books for the beach or for the trip. And what I love seeing are the families that are taking road trips, and they come in and they get audiobooks to listen to in the car. So there's a lot of that happening too.
Very cool.
Super fun times.
So that's what's going on at the library.
Yes.
Tell me about the 4th of July.
4th of July.
What's the scoop behind the scenes?
So the scoop behind the scenes is that it's going to be an awesome event. We have been planning for months. We have so many great partners. So on the town side, it's, you know, Chief Sullivan and Chief Blue and Vince Harris and all of these folks, and then the Parks and Rec folks and transit. I mean, almost every single town department has had a hand in this new fireworks. And then our external partners like Southern Village and WCHL, we've all been working and planning for this great new 4th of July program.
Awesome.
So if you haven't heard, we're shooting the fireworks, not at Keenan. Hashtag not Keenan fireworks.
There's going to be a sign up at Keenan saying, go this way. Here's a map with directions.
Well, here's the thing. If you walk, you know, if you get to Keenan and you don't see the fireworks, you don't have to walk far to be able to probably see them.
Right.
These
fireworks
are
going to be shot really high. Yeah.
They are going to be visible from many, many places in town. So we're shooting the fireworks right between Southern Community Park and Southern Village. Mm-hmm. And the idea is that up on the Village Green from 6 till 9, there's a great band, Idlewild South, an Allman Brothers cover band.
I'm looking forward to them.
Yep. There's a kids zone. UNC is going to be there. Ramsey's is going to be there. All of the merchants will have food and drink specials. It's going to be just a super fun 3 hours of programming. Down in the park from 7 till 9, it's the sort of, opposite type of thing. It's no programming, but big ball fields open. Bring your own fun. Bring a blanket. Bring a frisbee. Please don't bring tents or dogs or alcohol. But you can hang out on the ball fields. And that's for folks who don't want to hear the band or, you know, get their faces painted and just hang out until the fireworks starts.
Cool.
And then the fireworks start at about 9:15. And we're shooting them 500 feet in the air.
Nice.
Which I've learned is higher than the Statue of Liberty.
Nice.
Yeah.
I'm happy 4th of July.
Exactly,
yeah.
So it's going to be great.
And these are big fireworks, right? We were talking with Chief Sullivan outside. These are like 5 inches around in diameter. These are bigger than your average fireworks,
yes.
Right?
Yes. So when we shot them in Keenan, we only shot their 1-inch shell, so they go 100 feet in the air.
Right.
And so everything was inside Keenan.
Right.
And that was the longer show. That, you know, the Keenan show was like 18, 20 minutes. We had it synced up with like Katy Perry and Ray Charles and Bruce Springsteen. So when we moved the site, you can't just take – so we couldn't take the Keenan show and put it in the park.
Right.
So instead, we have rethought the whole thing, and we're shooting them much higher. So we actually went out with the fire folks back in like February, and we flew a drone up. Mm-hmm. And then we had somebody standing on the green and somebody standing on the ball fields. And if we could see the drone, then that's how we figured out how high to shoot them.
Nice.
And then we
okay.
added like 200 feet onto it just because why not?
Because we hadn't topped the Statue of Liberty
right.
yet. We had to get higher than the torch.
So we're shooting them so 300, 400, and 500 feet up in the air. And
nice.
So that means to shoot fireworks 500 feet in the air, the shell is 5 inches. So
okay.
as Chief Sullivan said, these things are like the size of a cantaloupe. And it's a shorter show. So it's like a 10 to 12 minute show. There's no music. We aren't doing that. This is sort of an old-fashioned hometown, the kind
right.
of fireworks that you might see in many type places.
And 10 to 12 minutes is still a while, especially
it's
when it's like a bigger, higher, more intense fireworks show. It's
yeah.
going to be cool. Yeah, I'm looking forward
yep.
to it.
Yes.
Awesome.
I am too.
So, and you're looking forward to the 5th when it's all over and you can just relax for a minute.
Relax with a good book.
So, okay, so back to the 4th of July and back to talking books. We got Susan Brown of the studio, head of the Chapel Hill Public Library, and we're recommending books based on the 4th of July, right? Based
yes.
on America, freedom, independence, liberty, and all that.
Yes, and
yes.
I decided to basically recommend a nerdy Aaron Keck type books.
Yes. Boom.
So, should I go first?
Yes,
okay.
You should go first.
So, I was
see, I'm about to out-nerd you. I
really?
See what book you have there.
I was walking out of my house this morning and I said to my husband, "Oh my gosh, we're going to talk about books inspired by July 4th." What should I talk about? And he says, oh, and he just hands me this book from our shelves.
Uh-huh.
So I'm bringing The American Revolution, Writings from the War of Independence. And this is from a series called The Library of America. So I think they're still making these. I'm not sure.
Yes, they are.
They are. Okay.
Yeah.
I knew you would knew that.
Oh,
I love it.
Yeah. I'm about to out-nerd you,
okay.
but I'll let you go
so
on this.
So this is a fabulous series. They all have this similar look. They're dense books with this black cover. We have a bunch of these at home. We have one that's a collection of American Gothic writers,
mm-hmm.
one that's like a two-volume set of American crime fiction. So they're all collections of work. So this one is everything from speeches to letters. Here's a battle of a diary entry from Jabez Fitch on the Battle of Long Island, August 1776. Flip to February 1779, and here's a narrative of the March to Vincennes from George Rogers Clark. So these are short, often primary sources from the period of the War of Independence.
The Library of America is awesome because they've got historical collections like that. They've got collections of American fiction and poetry and drama and journalism. They've got travel writing. They've got a book that's just anti-slavery works from the 17 and the 1800s. And it's this great, great organization that has dedicated itself to raising the funds to collect all of these amazing anthologies together and then to keep them in print. So they are available. You can get them. And I think if you go to the Library of America website, which I have very recently, I think they've got like 300 volumes
wow.
of stuff. Yeah. They've got the American Revolution, which I'm going to out-nerd you now because I just finished reading that like 2 weeks
book?
Ago.
Really?
Yes,
That's
that exact
awesome.
Same book.
I love it.
And I've got a whole bunch of Library of America books about the American founding era that I have actively been working my way through for the last couple of weeks. So in the last, I think, 3 weeks, I've read The American Revolution. I finished reading a 2-volume set on the debate over the ratification of the Constitution in 1787-88, which I think everyone should read. I've read the Franklin anthology, the George Washington anthology, the Alexander Hamilton anthology, the James Madison anthology. All of these are just sitting on my shelf.
It's like I have to look, like, cast my eyes away from the
sheer
super
nerdiness.
Nerddom.
Yes.
I just can't even.
These are amazing, amazing anthologies.
Yeah,
and if you like American history, if you love American history, you care about American history, or American literature, American just writing in general, they've got a 2-volume set of great American speeches, which is really cool. This is definitely worth checking out, and you can either find them at the library or just they're great editions to have.
They
as
are.
Well. So,
they have
yeah.
the like ribbon bookmark.
The ribbon bookmark,
thing attached.
Yes.
Now, just to be clear, I have not read this, nor have I read any of the ones that you mentioned. My husband may have. The ones I've read are the American Gothic
yes.
writers
yeah.
and the crime writers, just to keep, like, just to be on brand for
yes.
Susan Brown.
Of course, of course. And the best part about the Library of America, as any great American library should be, is that they've got the nerdy stuff and the Gothic fiction stuff.
That's
and
right.
everything in between.
Yep.
So it's really cool. All right.
Okay.
So I'm going to stick with the American Revolution theme, and I'm going to recommend a book called Liberty and Freedom by David Hackett Fisher, F-I-S-C-H-E-R. So David Hackett Fisher is an historian who focuses primarily, I think, on the early days of American history. And he's got a couple of amazing books. I think the one that he's most famous for is called Albion Seed. But the one that I'm going to recommend is Liberty and Freedom, because it's this huge book. It's like a coffee table book about early American history and the idea of liberty and freedom and how Americans understood it at the time. But it's also a visual book with a lot of visual aids and pictures, because there are a lot of really fascinating things about that concept and the way it was understood that you can really only understand if you see the way it was represented. So one really interesting thing about liberty and freedom is that I keep saying liberty and freedom, which we kind of tend to equate as synonyms. The English language is one of the only languages that has those two words. Like, liberty comes from Latin Romance and freedom comes from the Germanic side. And they kind of come together in English because we take from everything, and they mean slightly different things the way that they're used. So you never really hear like a libertarian, for instance, when they talk about it, they talk about liberty most of the time. Like, that's the concept they use. When Martin Luther King talks about it in his speeches, you always hear freedom, right? You don't hear liberty as much. And there's a reason for that. Like, the way that the words are used in different contexts, they have different meanings. And the visuals that people use, like the "Don't Tread on Me" rattlesnake was an image of freedom that meant a particular thing in a particular part of the American colonies. Like, that was a popular image, like in the interior. And then there was the Liberty Tree, and then there was the Eagle, and then there was Lady Liberty, and all of these different images get used in different ways, and they kind of conflate with each other, and they all have slightly different meanings. Like, there's different concepts of what the word liberty means to people. Like, is it I get to do what I want, or I'm in control of myself and I'm making the right choices? Or is it I'm not dominated by anyone, people aren't making decisions for me? Or is it we, the people, are making decisions for ourselves and we don't have some government 3,000 miles away making decisions for us? All of those are used interchangeably, and they all have slightly different meanings, and they all have slightly different images that go along with them. And Fisher's book is just this really great, fun read about that, and it's super smart.
I love it. Now, just to bring things way down while you were talking about it, you're like clearly impassioned about it and thinking about it.
It's a great book.
I was thinking of two things. One, about the imagery, which is fascinating. Mm. Like, how did we get the eagle and, you know, all of this stuff? Mm. It makes me think of two things. One, there was a time in my life when a gang of us would always go celebrate the 4th at this camp that my husband grew up going to and working at. And we would all go back there. And the goal was to find the tackiest July 4th possible.
Yes.
Like the giant eagle with the, you know, statue of, like, everything on it. So we had this contest. And then the other one, when you mentioned the "Don't Tread on Me" slogan, growing up in Virginia, the joke was, so on the flag, the motto of Virginia is "Sic Semper Tyrannis," thus always to tyrants. And then I forget who the people are, but there's someone, like, with their foot on someone who was laying down, and I forget who the characters were. But the joke in, like, third grade when you learned history of the state was "Sic Semper Tyrannis" meant, "Hey, dude, get off my neck." Just ridiculous.
That's the theme song of Daria.
So that's where my mind went as you were giving that impassioned speech, Aaron. I'm so sorry. Okay, so another nerdy book that you may have read already, but I always love that the town of Carrboro does their annual reading of the Frederick Douglass speech, The Meaning of July 4th for the Negro. So I wanted to mention this is a new book out. It's a biography that's been out a couple of years by David Blight, who's a wonderful historian and biographer. And the book is called Frederick Douglass, Prophet of Freedom. And so David Blight, this was one of New York Times top book, Wall Street Journal top book. This book was on all of the best of books for the year. And it's a great biography because it looks at Douglass as a human, too. Mm-hmm. Like, he's this hero, this epic character. And it digs into that, but it also digs into the, like, human side of him. It's a long book, as many of his are, but it's a really, really great book. Frederick Douglass, Prophet of Freedom.
All right. We got to wrap up here in a couple minutes, but I'm going to go real quick to fiction and recommend one of my all-time favorite books. And it's a great book just about American culture, turn of the 20th century American culture. And it's E.L. Doctorow's book, Ragtime. Which is it combines, like, real life figures like J.P. Morgan and Emma Goldman together with these three fictional families, one of them white, one of them black, and one of them, like, an immigrant family coming in from Eastern Europe, and just the way their lives intersect in the context of turn of the century America and the way that it was developing and the way that we were coming to understand ourselves. It is hilarious. It is tragic. It's one of those, it'll make you laugh and cry and think all at the same time kind of books. And it's just a really great read because E.L. Doctorow is a fantastic writer. So if you haven't read that, read it. Ragtime.
And, you know, Playmakers is going to do that.
Going to do the musical.
Season,
yes.
Which I think is awesome. It's going to make me want to reread that book.
I'm so excited about it. Yeah. Ragtime is also one of my favorite musicals of all time. So,
I don't think I've ever seen the musical, but I've read the book.
Good. So. It's so good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All righty. Well, there you go. There's some books to read on or near the 4th.
Yep. And that's it. Happy 4th of July, Susan Brown.
You too.